Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eaglehawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us, and I trust you've all had a very enjoyable Christmas. May God bless you with a greater love for Him in the new year. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Psalm 10, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then it'll be back to me for the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Lord, we pray that as we look to Your Word, You would give us wisdom. Your Word forces us to think through some difficult issues. As we look at the Psalms, sometimes they pray prayers that seem strange to us. But as we read this part of Your Word, we pray Your Spirit would be at work in us. May we not be unchanged by it. And as always, point us to Jesus, our Lord, who has come in the flesh. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God is forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, You will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eaglehawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with two of my kids, Kai and Ellie. Say hi guys!
Hi!
Now we're doing something different today. We've moved on from our Christmas whatever we were doing. We're going to talk about something else.
Bullies.
Bullies. Alright. This kid is Billy. Billy is a bully. Billy the bully picks on little Joe. Okay? Joe sometimes has his lunch stolen. Sometimes Billy hurts him. Hits him. Kicks him. Sometimes Billy calls him names and tells lies about him to the other kids. Billy the bully is a bad guy. But you know what? The teacher, Mrs. Jones, she loves Billy. See, Billy is always really well behaved when there's a teacher around. Billy always does really well in his schoolwork. Billy gets top grades, he does well in sport, he does well in music, so all the teachers love him. Now, does that seem fair to you?
No.
No.
No. Do you sometimes see in life that things aren't always fair?
Yeah.
Do you see sometimes that people who are wicked seem to do really well in life and nothing ever seems to go wrong for them?
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens. And it's not fair and it's not right, is it? And it makes God's people wonder what is going on in the world around them. Doesn't God care? Doesn't God want to help them?
He wants to help them.
Okay, so what should we do?
We should pray.
We should pray. That's exactly right, Kai. We should pray. When we see things like this happen, when we see bad guys getting away with doing bad things, when we see that good people are not being treated right, when we see that things are not fair in this world, we need to pray. We need to cry out to God to help us. Now, Kai, I've got a verse here for you to read out for me.
O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. He will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more.
That's right. This says that God hears us when we cry out to him. God hears the cry of the weak, the people who are being treated badly. He hears them. And one day, he's going to fix it. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when we see bad things happening in this world, we need to cry out to God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you care for us and that you are powerful to help us. Please help us to remember to cry out to you when we see things that are not right. Help us to wait patiently for the day when justice will come. Amen.
I wonder if any of you played hide and seek over Christmas. In your family gathering, were there small children eager to play a game once the eating had finished and the shine of new toys had dimmed for the moment? Where did they hide? Under the bed? In a wardrobe? Behind a curtain. Obviously, the older the child, the harder to find them. Eventually, they learn where the good spots are, and they learn to be quiet while they wait for the seeker. Or maybe you played a less sophisticated version of the game, peekaboo, hiding your face behind your hands or ducking out of sight of a baby. Did you enjoy the squeals of laughter as you reappeared? When babies hide, usually they'll cover their eyes. They think that because they can't see you, you can't see them. But it's not just babies. Some people think that because they can't see someone watching them, no one is. They think they can get away with violence, cruel words, and oppressing those weaker than they are because no one sees them. But God always sees. And that's a word of comfort for God's people and for the oppressed. But it's a word of warning to those who want to abuse their power. It gives God's people hope in their pain, hope as they see the helpless trodden on, hope for justice. And so, like the psalmist, we can cry out to the God who sees oppression. But as you know, it's not as simple as you'd hope. Psalm 10 encourages us to cry out to the God who sees oppression, but it doesn't promise an immediate answer. And so we have our first heading in verse 1, despair. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You felt that despair. I know you have. Anyone who hears about the evil in this world can't help but wonder, where's God? Why isn't he doing anything about this? Examples aren't hard to find. Locally, you hear about a car window smashed and valuables taken. It happens in less than a minute, and with no one around, no cameras and no fingerprints, the police don't have much chance in finding the person. On the international level, the Chinese government is getting away with slave labour of political prisoners, with closing churches and having the Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps where they're brainwashed. Countries keep doing business with them. We cry out, why? Because it doesn't make sense to us. We know he's a loving God. He cares about people. He hates evil. He loves justice. And because we know that's who God is, we can't imagine why God isn't doing anything about it. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? This is the desperate cry of God's people. As they see the world around them, they're filled with despair and confusion, and they cry out, why? But who do they cry to? To God. This isn't some philosopher writing a chapter in a dense and boring book. This is a desperate cry to God. This is a prayer. And this prayer has been recorded for us to pray. It's a song for us to sing. And we might think that praying something like this is disrespectful. How could he criticize God like this, accusing him of standing far off? But God has kept this prayer in the prayer book, the hymn book, of his people. More, because this is part of God's word, this is a prayer that God himself inspired and wants his people to use. Do you ever pray this way? As you look at the horrors of this world or your own situation, do you ever tell God how you really feel? Do you pour out your heart to him in times of trouble? God invites us to tell him how we feel. He knows our every thought, every feeling, every word before it's on our tongue. But he wants us to share with him, to lay out our frustrations, to wrestle in prayer with who we know God to be, yet questioning why he hasn't acted. In the garden before his arrest, Jesus poured out his heart to the Father. He knew the plan. He'd been sent to go to the cross, and he willingly obeyed. But that doesn't mean he didn't cry out, eager for there to be another way. He knew there wasn't another way. But the moment had come to experience the inferno of God's anger for sin. He'd be taking the full weight of punishment for the sins of all those who trust in him. In just a few hours, he'd cry out again in despair, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like the psalmist and like Jesus, we can voice our despair. We can cry out in confusion because we know who God is. It's a cry of faith. And so cry out in your despair. Cry out to the God who sees oppression. The focus of the prayer turns from his despair at God not acting like he expected to describing the wicked. In verses 2 to 11, we come to our second heading, pride. They show pride first by their treatment of the weak and helpless. They spend their time planning how to take advantage of the weak. Verse 2, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Verse 8, he sits in the lurking places of the villagers. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. While God uses his strength to care for the weak, these people use their strength for themselves. They hurt and steal and kill. I heard recently about a young man in America who died in a police chase. One of the horrible things he'd done was randomly fire a gun out of his car window. He had no target in mind, he was just shooting, and he didn't care who got hit. Governments can be like this. The Victorian government happily sacrifices the lives of unborn children, the most helpless among us, to shed their blood for votes and power. The wicked also show pride by their certainty of the future. Verse 6, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. They don't expect to be caught. They don't expect to be punished for their cruelties, otherwise they wouldn't do what they do. They think they're in camouflage. Just like soldiers will try to blend into their surroundings, the wicked think they won't be seen. They don't smash car windows when there's a police car coming. They wait until there's no one around. The man who beats his wife doesn't do it when her family are around. He waits until they're alone. They think they'll get away with it. They think they can hide it from people and from God. Verse 11, he has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. They're practical atheists. Plenty of people say they believe in a God or higher power, but they don't live like it. Do you pray like this? The psalmist sees these people getting away with wickedness. So what does he do? He tells God, in detail, what's wrong. He's thought about it. After he sees the news report, he doesn't offer up a two-second, God, how could you let that happen? He lays out everything he's seeing. He makes a case. He tells God why these people are evil. He expresses his faith and his concern by spending the time laying out the problem. But remember, the problem of evil isn't just out there. Other psalms help us to confess the evil that's in us. Paul uses this psalm in Romans chapter 3 to say we're all like the wicked. The wicked are full of pride, thinking they can get away with it. How often are we tempted to compare ourselves to others, to say, I'm not as bad as that guy? We're all sinful. Have you been forgiven for that sin? Have you trusted in Jesus' death to save you? We've just celebrated his birth, but he was born to die for sinners, taking their punishment. Are you living like a practical atheist? Maybe you mouth belief in God, but are you living for him, or are you living as though God doesn't see? Cry out to the God who sees oppression. Tell him what you see and beg for mercy for your own sin. And plead with God to do something about it all with faith. That's our final heading in verses 12 to 18. Faith. What does the prayer of faith ask? After expressing despair and describing the pride of the wicked, what does faith look like? Verse 12, arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. The prayer of faith doesn't just lay out the facts, but it asks for something, for God to act, for God to show his power, to lift up his strong hand and save the humble, help those who can't help themselves, rescue them from the hand of the proud. Because while the wicked think they've gotten away with it, they haven't. They think no one saw, but someone saw them. Someone always sees them. They pretend in verse 13 that God won't punish them, but verse 14 and 15, you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. Those with faith pray for justice, knowing that God loves those who've been abused by the powerful. The powerful arm of those who abuse others, their arm will be broken. their power will be taken from them. And he won't just judge them for some sins. All their sin will be exposed. There'll be no more hiding because God is the helper of the fatherless. History is full of stories of those who thought they'd get away with it. Think of the stories we hear of murderers and rapists who had gotten away with their crimes. But then finally they were discovered. The police were going through the old cases and got DNA from something collected from the original crime scene. We could turn to the leaders of the USSR or the Nazis. They thought they'd get away with it. But then they fell. Their sins came back to bite them. They were judged in history. But that's not where it ended, because God brings complete justice. Every sin is judged by him. In verse 15, he judges wickedness until there's none left. He never leaves a job half done. And God's justice should always make us pause and think about ourselves. Because, like Paul points out in Romans 3, we're all guilty of being like the wicked. We all use our tongues to curse others, bring others down, to lie and build ourselves up. We've all been guilty of it. So, as we enter another year, let's make sure we're on the right side of God's justice. Let's not be like the proud who think we're better than we really are. Remember, God sees our sin. All of it. We can't escape his gaze. He's the one who made the eye. He sees it all. So before you pray for God to bring justice on those who abuse others, make sure you've been forgiven yourself. If you haven't come to Jesus before, don't let next year be like this year. God sees you better than you see yourself. He knows all your sin and he will call you to account for every single one. Come to Jesus and live. Come to Jesus and be forgiven. And as God's people, let's cry out to God to bring justice for the helpless. Because he is the king, verse 16 says. And he hears the cry of the humble. Let's pray that God would rescue them from the oppression they face, from the violence, the fear, the slander. Psalm 10 tells us to cry out to the God who sees oppression. We can be tempted to despair because we don't see him act immediately when we think he should. We wonder why the wicked seem to get away with it. Why he lets them be proud, boasting that nothing will happen to them. But we can cry out with faith. We know he will bring justice for the helpless, because he sees their oppression. We pray he'll bring justice in this life, that it'll happen in history. But if not, we remember that Jesus has been made both Lord and Christ. The one who died for sinners is also the one who will one day come in judgment. And he will bring perfect justice. He will show perfect compassion. This coming year might see more oppression. More people seemingly getting away with murder, violence, slander. But let's never forget to bring to God our despair, telling him about the proud, while crying out with faith to the God who sees the oppression and will one day bring it to an end. There will be a day when perfect justice comes. So let's cry out to the God who sees oppression and wait. And let's pray now. Our Father, we praise you that you do bring justice. That though we look around and see injustice flourish and people getting away with evil, thank you that they will not always get away with it. They will either experience your justice in this life or the next. Thank you that the oppressed will receive your help, your compassion, even if they have to wait a little while. And thank you for Jesus, who came to this world in the flesh, to walk these roads, to experience suffering, unjust suffering, and he understands it, and he will be the judge. But we praise you that at the cross, all our own evil has been dealt with, if we trust in him, that it's all been judged, and we have experienced your mercy. For those who haven't trusted in Jesus, may they find forgiveness and life and mercy in him. May they not look down on others thinking they're better than them or that they don't need Jesus. Show them their need, convict them of their sin, and give them life in Jesus. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eaglehawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We'd love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. And, as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you, and again, even though it's past, Merry Christmas, and have a Happy New Year.